Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Things off
by all means.
Okay, is it just me, or should we have flying cars by now? Like, I feel as much as I love Back to the Future, it lied. 2015, there was supposed to be other cars
and the Jetsons, they lied too.
Yeah, and just I don't have a license or anything, so it's not really none of my business, and I shouldn't really care too much. But maybe if there were flying cars, I would have a license.
Maybe. I mean, Jetson's lied. I mean, I'll forgive Buck Rogers because we're not in the 25th century, but...
What year was that?
What, Buck Rogers?
No, Jetsons. What year was that set?
I can't... Oh, my God. See me talking big and I haven't even got my facts straight. Oh, my days. Welcome to... And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast talking about nerdery, geekism, and all else in between from a South London postcode. I am one of your hosts, Shannons. Next to me is the instant classic.
I'm still trying to find out a date. 1 second.
Trying to find out a date. And on the other side of me is a big man, aka Booger Red. What's up,
yeah? Yeah, I'm not too bad. How's everyone doing so far?
2062.
Oh, right.
Okay, we've got time. We got time, but still. So basically, we have like, we got 40 years.
Yeah.
But still. Okay, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'll try. I'll try.
Well, I got plans, so I'm going to make it.
Because I've got plans. this is the first recording of the new year. And Big Man, I believe it's your turn, so yeah. I am blind to your topic. What do you have for us today?
Well, I need to ask you both your question. Now, I must stress that.
Again, have you passed these questions over to Jason?
That's true. How's Jason?
Yeah. To be fair, I have consulted Jason.
One second.
And he gave me thumbs up.
One second. Oh, wait. There's an email. 1 second. Hey, Warren. How you doing? Kiss, kiss. No, Jason.
You told Jason he needs to be careful about that kiss, kiss thing. I mean, then again, you both agreed.
It's fine.
Consent is key.
He has approved the questions. They actually are good.
Okay, cool. Go for it.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Now, before I ask this question, I just need...
Sorry.
Thank you, much appreciated.
I'm going to kiss from Jason.
And I'm just going to ask you both 100%, and whether you answer, absolutely fine.
Okay. But
if you see a black man wearing a red bow tie, does that automatically make him a Muslim?
I don't want a stereotype.
However, right. Coming up in Brixton.
It usually is. It usually is, to be fair.
Yes. Yes. Right.
That was a question that was put by one Larry David.
Oh God!
On the TV program
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Now, I could honestly say, when he came out with that line, that was it. I couldn't breathe. I was crying so hard. I thought I broke both of my ribs because I have never heard someone ask that question. Then it made me think, shit, you know, I think he might be right there. And that's just a fraction of stuff this man comes out. So today's topic, in the first year of 2022, we're going to delve into the mind of the great Larry David and the TV program known as Curb Enthusiasm.
Okay, first and foremost, I'm going to say I've never really watched it.
Yeah, and I know. Amazingly, a lot of people still have got this show under the radar, but which is good.
I think what it is, I've seen bits of it, and there are a lot of cringe moments. There's only so many cringe I can do. I mean, obviously, it's the whole point. But I don't know. Maybe you can change my mind. Big man.
Yeah. How about you, sis? What do you know about it or seen anything of it?
I think I'm with Bruv on that level as well. Like, I've watched a few ones and been like, oh my, I can't, and run off, be like, But it's been good every time I've watched it.
Yeah.
But it's not one of my go-tos. I think it's like, it's on the cringe scale of being just about too much.
Yeah.
It's like the UK Office.
Yeah, yeah.
That's way over the line. I can't deal with it, and I don't like Ricky Gervais. But I can't deal. When things get too cringy, I can't deal. There's a scale. US Office has less cringe, but still, it's encapsulated in almost one person. Which is Michael, always. But that's less. And then Parks and Rec doesn't have the level of cringe. It just has the moment where you go, oh, God! But it has won a season where you're like, that is almost such people want to run around and scream. I think the only thing that's close is, oh, my God, just had it in my head. Not Mitchell Webb look. Peep Show.
Yeah.
Picture nothing where I'm like, I can't become like, oh my God, I want to tear my face off with like embarrassment. Because just like, especially because I think of the views of the camera.
Yeah.
But then Green Room is okay. I've got a weird line of cringe.
Yeah.
And too much cringe, I can't deal. And sometimes Curb Your Enthusiasm is too much cringe.
And that's the thing. I mean, there's two types of people. There's those that can go through with life with their inner thoughts and they just keep it to themselves. Curb is the complete opposite. They're just coming out with it.
Yep.
In those scenarios, you're like, please shut the F up. Don't, please. You're making a bad situation worse. But at the exact same time, there's so many things that they're pointed out. I mean, I've watched and I thought, you know what? I thought of that, but hell, I wouldn't say it. But it just makes me thinking, glad it's just not me. There's other people in the world that think like that as well. But
you know another show like that? It's okay. Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I've never watched that, but I've heard so many good things about
it. I've watched it, but it does the other thing where I'm like, I would gut you. And the only thing that stops me fully wanting to gut them is Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Because I love Danny DeVito so goddamn much. He's just a national goddamn treasure, and I honestly love him so damn much, and Rhea Perlman. But yeah, there are times they do stuff, I'm just like, no, I want to kill you. And when I think there should be a voice of reason, I'm like, I can't. I feel like it's bad for my mental health. Like, I can't, because I just go around killing men like you. Like, honest, it's that's over. That's gone too far over for me. But yeah, sorry to cut you on that. Yeah,
no problem. So let's get this ball rolling, shall we? So relax, have a drink, and let's.
I do have a wine here. That's actually, thank you.
Oh, there you go. What you got on the drink menu, bruv?
Water.
Get him all healthy. Let me drink my white wine. Yeah.
No, I literally didn't think about comparing myself a drink. I literally didn't think about
it. His dedication is ferocious. Anywho, big man.
So, Curb Your Enthusiasm. So, started as a one-off TV show, which was aired on HBO on the 15th of October, 2000. Been going on for that long.
Oh. He's 22. Oh my God.
Is it still going? It's not going anymore, is it?
Yeah, it's still going. Yeah.
It's still going.
Bloody hell.
Yes, the recent series just finished about 3 weeks ago.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Yeah. Now, to cut a long story short, this is what I love about this program. So it follows the life of one Larry David, crow creator Seinfeld, playing himself, and his manager, played by Jeff Garning. And it's just the bizarre situations that he gets himself into. Now, I can honestly say, being a massive Seinfeld fan, I didn't actually hear of Curb until, I think, 2 years after it was aired. Because at that time in the UK, there's a channel called E4, just kicked off. And everything was all Friends orientated. Oh, watch Friends on E4. Oh, Friends this, Friends that. And once that died a death, they put on Curb. So that's when we all finally got a chance to watch it. And basically, the concept...
Sorry, of... just to cut you. I'm going to have to do an episode on, like, how we get stuff over here. Because I don't think a lot of people outside of the UK understand how... We get stuff syndicated here, mm-hmm. and how, like, we may not get the full syndication, we may get bits of it, or we get highlights. So I think I'm going to do an episode about syndication and about, like, how it's been, like, a staple throughout, like, from back in the day with Soap and Sledgehammer back in the day coming on late, and Married with Children to Private Benjamin to all other kinds of weird things. And even one-offs were shoved on just randomly because they had filler. Yeah. So I think I'll do that in the future.
To this day, I have never finished watching Step by Step. Damn it.
Oh my God.
That makes me feel old, bro.
You know when you hear a theme tune?
Day by day. Jay Starlow.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, it's okay. So, Big Man, you were saying,
TikTok.
So basically, plot for Curb, Larry David, being the man of the people that he is, unfortunately gets himself into many situations, and it's just how these events play out. Now, one of the greatest things about this program, there is a script, there's a general idea, but everything is ad-libbed. There is no script, they just run with it. So when you watch it, you can generally see some scenes where someone comes up with a killer line and they're trying not to laugh. It's done superbly. And like I said, I can sit there and talk about this for hours, but we ain't got that today. So to start a long story short, the first episode was a spin-off. No, let me retract. The first episode started in 1999 with one-only special, which was Larry trying to get his career back on track, and was shot from his point of view. We were done very well. A little bit ropey for a first episode, but how many of them hit it out of the ballpark? And amazingly, for the style of mockumentary it was filmed, it just blew up. Since then, Curb has received nothing more than critical acclaim, and it's been nominated for 47 Emmy Awards.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. And I can sit here and tell you what reasons to watch it, and I can also tell you at the exact same time the reason why not to watch it. And as you pointed out, Shane, it's the cringe factor. I mean, what I said at the start of the episode about the black man in the red tie, that's nothing compared to some of the stuff I'm about to come up with. So I can honestly tell you how the first episode I saw, it's kind of a bit of a pattern developing here. Larry had bought a brand new TV, and being the dumb idiot he is, he didn't know how to work it. Every time he tried to put the remote on, it would not work. He tried to sort it out from the back. Doesn't have a clue what he's doing. And he called one of the equivalent of know-how to come around and install it. So at this point, his wife, Cheryl, didn't know he called the guy. So this lovely young black gentleman appears at the house. Larry walks in, sees him fiddling around with the remote, and gives him the £20 tip. What could possibly go wrong from here?
Who is he, or who was the guy?
Well, first off, that was not the guy here from the TV shop that has come to fix the TV. That was one of Cheryl's friends, and which he then complained, so what, black people can't get a job? Which Larry said, no, I thought you were the guy that was coming around to fix the TV. Where do I look like I work for this company? The guy's wearing a tracksuit. Which the guy ended up rejecting the money, fixing the TV, and then walking out. Which then Cheryl then complained to Larry saying, why did you give the guy a tip? Which then Larry then starts out saying, oh, it must be a sin to give a black man a £20. He wasn't being racist, he was just helping out the community. You know how...
God. Oh no, yep. I'm cringing. I'm already like, ah! Stop! Ah!
Digging.
And then he used the classic catchphrase, which as soon as I heard, I went, you didn't use that. So you know how these things are? In this day and age, we've got to use affirmative action.
Oh, no.
God. Oh, man.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Yeah. And what I failed to mention at the exact same time, his next-door neighbour and good friend happened to be Wanda Sykes.
Of course she is. Of course she is.
So, when all this commotion comes on, she's now popped her head over the door and heard everything that's gone on, and her first line was this: Larry David always fucking up the black man when every opportunity arises. I'm telling you now, if I can find this clip, I will send you the notes to be uploaded on the page. Mm. You will cry because you're thinking, please, man, shut the fuck up, please. You're just digging yourself. And this is the start of, let me put it this way, you know, on your morning commute to work, for some of us who don't have the pleasure of working from home, you see something like someone sitting in a chair and then the chair collapses and you try not to laugh and you just keep your head down. Those types of things. Larry will be that person saying, well, you just effed up. That's the type of right.
That's why. Does he know, okay, in this scenario, does he know the person or is it just a random person? Because I would do that regardless, to be fair. Yeah. No, you fool.
You go raw, loud, yeah. Raw. Okay.
It's funny because, like, you say that because I, like, recently last week, yeah. I had to go and I was volunteered to help a customer move some speakers from downstairs to upstairs. Mm. It was me and my colleague Aiden, and like, do you know when you know something's gonna go wrong?
Oh, God.
Because there were elements that are involved, because the stairs were very slippery and we were in our socks. And they were awkward, like ones that curve in.
Oh, no.
And I was like, this is an accident waiting to happen. And then she was like, before we move the speakers, can you help us take some things here to the bedroom? And I was like,
no.
Yeah, sure. And then one of those things was a mirror.
I
didn't touch the mirror. I was like, yeah, I ain't doing that. And Aiden was I am blessing the 6-foot big bellied Viking he is. Jesus bless God, love him. He took the mirror with confidence, and I was like, I see this is going to go wrong. I want to take my camera out, but I can't because I'm being professional.
Oh,
my man.
No.
Second step in, going down, falls right on his ass. His knee goes right into the mirror. No serious injuries, but my first reaction was... While smiling, I'm not gonna lie, I was smiling. I didn't laugh because I had to. Cause I wasn't sure if it was serious or not.
Yeah.
So while smiling, I went, "Shit!" And then I heard a customer down said, "Everything go right, all right?" And I was like, "No." But bless her, she was actually okay about it. She wasn't angry. She wasn't pissed off because at the end of the day, she knew this is something this is technically.
We shouldn't be doing this, but
it seemed to fit the situation we're talking about, but yeah,
it does fit, it really fits.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it's those scenarios where you stand there and you're thinking, yeah, there's really nothing I can say here, but Larry will be the person, like, for example, Larry was in that scene, he'll probably turn and say, well, that's your fault, isn't it? That's the type of guy he is. There is no filter. I mean,
or it'll just be the music, innit? The boom, boom, da-da. It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the thing. This is the start. I mean, with every mistake Larry does, that he will never own up to it. It's always someone else's fault. It sounds like a lot of people, you know. And his social circle of Richard Lewis, Ted Danson, and his wife Mary Steenburgen. Don't help the situation. They do not help. I mean, I can sit here and name, in fact, on one top of my hat, actually. I'm going to set you a scene. You've been out. You've gone to a restaurant with your good friends. It's time to pay the bill. What do you do? Do you A, put take out the card, here's my half. B, you take out your card, here's my half. C, well, I'm not paying for all of y'all, I'm paying for myself. Or D, go to the toilet and conveniently come back once the bill's paid.
Never D. It depends who I'm with.
Same.
Depends who I'm with. Here's my true stuff, right? So I've got a brunch club. So my brunch club is some people. Shout out to Law. Shout out to Sash. Shout out to Fee. Love y'all. It's unspoken. We have gone to restaurants and people have been shook by what we've eaten. I'm not even joking. And they look at me like I'm the one who's going to do it. And I'm like, don't look at me. Look over there.
Look at Laura. Because Jesus Christ.
Look, thank you. Look at Laura. Because Laura, Laura has made people go, it's like, yeah, because she's like, I'm not here to play. I'm not here to play. I've experienced. I've had people like shook. But it's unspoken. So in that scenario with the brunch club, you just put down the cards. You just put down the cards. Certain people, because you know sometimes you're in a collective of people where a lot of y'all look cool, but then there's a rogue element. There's the rogue element who comes in with that, but I just had the salad, or I just had the da da da, and they'll be the ones who want it broken down by a penny because they only had a water, they only had a salad, they definitely didn't have the this, they weren't really a fan of that, and even though they had half of your chips, they really don't want to pay that one, right? Luckily, that's rare, but most times, if I'm out, like I was out the other day with my cousin's missus. And I literally just went straight split, yeah? Just to make sure we're on the same wavelength. Straight split, yeah? And that's it. Because otherwise, my people who know me, we're just straight splitting. So we just put our cards down.
Yeah.
But you know when you're in a collective, you get the rogue element, so a bit like... Or even worse, no, the rogue element I hate is when the rogue element is got high champagne taste. High taste, like higher than me, and I got high champagne taste. But I know I can back it, yeah? You know, when they got taste, they want, you know, they want, like, brandy and cigars, that kind of thing. They want that.
She can? Okay, I need to ask someone's opinion about this, because I got to tell a story. All right.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. So go, Biggie. Story to tell. Go.
So I was, this was years back, and I was like, I met this woman for a potential date on a dating site. And, we were like talking, we were like on the phone talking, blah blah blah, and we were talking about possibly like meeting up for dinner or something like that, and when it comes to like dating situations, especially in London in general, it's not really spoken about who should pay or anything like that. It just kind of like happens, and a lot of times it's like you either. Like it feels like it depends situation. A lot of times, like I'll pay for like all, everything, or sometimes we establish when we get the restaurant, we'll split, blah blah blah. Or you know, it's kind of like you know, or someone like I'll pay for it, so I got this, it's on me, blah blah blah, kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of usually how it works out. But this girl, but like, even before I established that I'm gonna ask her out for food or anything like that, or vice versa, she was like, so you're gonna be paid for it, right?
Excuse me.
Wow. Okay.
And I was like, do you know why I get taken aback and I just do it? Excuse me? I start laughing. excuse me? It's like, well, you're the man. You got to pay for it.
Oh, no. Calm down. See, that's why the workaround right now is not dinner. You got to do your brunch.
So, yeah.
Brunch is the workaround.
Fair enough.
No, for real.
But
don't do dinner. First time dating, don't do dinner. Do brunch, because even if they go in, ain't too bad. Dinner is like I want to say like do brunch, because then you see how this is going and go, I'll just call it a coffee and call it end. And even if you do that, you probably only gonna pay for their croque monsieur or their something and be done. So yeah, brunch is the workaround in modern dating.
But to be fair, after that conversation, there was no conversation after that.
Wow,
because like
get 2 pieces in the biscuit.
No, I was just so taken aback. I was like, because it was double standards in a sense. Because she wants the independence and like, the independence. She wants this and that, but then it's like, oh, you got to pay for it. I was like, okay. I like again. I don't think situations. I don't even mind paying.
Yeah.
But don't tell
if
me
you're
I'm
bullshy, paying. If you're bullshy, like, I had a situation where a guy got bullshy and I made him pay. Because I was like, sorry, you did what? And you what? And then acted like the fact that he was buying me dinner meant he was going to get his parts filleted afterwards. Mm. I was like, I will fillet this wonderful lobster course. And sorry, I have to go. Sorry, I've got something pressing to do. It's like, no.
Okay, cool.
I'll fillet a scallop, but not you, Ree boy. Not you. Never that.
Oh, for the conclusion of that love. What happened? Larry's got one of his good mates, which is played by Richard Lewis. And every time they've gone out for dinner, he's like, let's split. He's like, yeah, we're cool. I'm just going to the toilet.
Nah.
Larry's like, no. You know what? You've done it a couple times here. What's your excuse? He's like, oh, I forgot my wallet. Well, you can pay by card. You know, you can pay by mobile phone. You know what I mean? We're moving on in the times. They said, you know what? I got you. So next time they went out to dinner, Larry vowed he was not going to eat that day. Got himself fully hungried up. Went out. Richard Lewis turns up. He's like, right, my turn to eat. Went for the whole lobster, champagne. In fact, he had run about 3 bottles. The bill comes, Richard Lewis jumps along, he says, no, not today. You take out your wallet, mate. You're going to pay up. No. You pay up. So reluctantly, Richard Lewis paid the bill. Then turned and said to Larry on the way home, yeah, you owe me 50% of that. Why? Because you ate half of the food. As Larry pointed out, I paid for your previous meals. And then Richard Lewis replied, what's that got to do with me? I didn't tell you to pay for it. Now, in those scenarios right there, call me stupid, but ain't that friendship terminated?
Become yardified. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I become a little bumble. Like, this is the thing. Having a wonderful, amazing friend like Law, like, I've traveled, put it in context, I have traveled. I've gone to the US, Memphis, New Orleans. The collective we've traveled, we have been literally transferring stuff into people's accounts while the bill's being tabulated. Like, it's that deep. Like, one sec, what's sort code, yeah? Like, it's to the point where now I don't even have a sort code for Michael because it's just like, I'm just transferring to you, literally. Because, we're not doing that. It's just, no. Like, I remember a situation, I'm in a situation where we're going to this really nice restaurant with a brunch club, and I got stung by Tesco doing some madness on my card. So I had literally £0, and I had to call up and I was like, guys, I can't come. I'm sorry. I can't. I literally have negative money in my account and I've got nothing. I can't come. I'm sorry. And I was proper upset about it, but you know, it's one of them things, you know. Laura's amazing husband called back and was like, you're going, get your clothes on. I'm going to sort you out. Don't worry about it. And that's it. And it's like, yeah, I can't. I turn yardified. I want a bomber is where that would be in that car.
That's the thing. It's those true elements that what makes this show so great. I mean, another one, which I'm sure everyone's experienced this, but you just wouldn't have the balls to say it. Now, you know, you can get those sweets, which is half raisin and half peanuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed there's a higher ratio of peanuts?
Yes, there is. Yeah, I'm vexed about it. Yes, yeah. The ones with chocolate on them.
Yeah.
Covers. Yes, yeah. Yes, there is. I can say there is.
Larry went to the head of the manager of the department and said, what's going on?
Oh my God. Okay, calm down. All
right. All right. I just want to confirm, Larry David's not Jewish, is he? He's actually just white, yeah?
Jewish, yeah.
He's Jewish?
Yeah.
So I can't even say white privilege on that. Right,
and that's the thing. And you laugh at this because you're thinking...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot... We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This man's got a problem, but when you think about it, you think, you know what, you're right, but these are everyday issues that the common folk will just let go. He does, but it's an issue to him, and he just loses it. But it's just a bigger circle.
Do you know what? I deal with people on a regular basis where I work. Because, yeah. Again, I work in Chelsea. So like, I remember I had to deal with this guy who was complaining about... Okay, so I don't know if anyone... this is how TVs work. Right? I'm not going to get technical, but I'm just going to give you some contractual information. Okay. So you buy a new TV, you buy a 2021 TV, blah, blah, blah. Right. All the trimmings, OLED, whatever, the apps. But like, not a lot of people know that for about like after 6 years are done, the TV apps and stuff will stop working after a while because the warranty that TVs pay for are only supported for a certain time, so a limited time. So a lot of times we tell customers to buy like a Fire Stick or a Chromecast so you can actually still continue to watch the apps on the TV. But at the same time, the TVs, or the companies that sell TVs are only contracted for a certain amount of time to support the apps. After a certain amount of time, the app stops being supported and they just stop working. That's just how actually happens. I had a guy complaining, not saying that's illegal. I was like, no, sir, that's business. He goes, well, I want to make a complaint. And I was like, well, you can make a complaint, but there's nothing we can physically do about it. But you must do. And I was like, well, we don't make the TVs, we just sell them, sir. That's how it works.
Go to the manufacturer. Yeah.
No, here's what he said. He goes, my man said, I'm going to complain to my local council.
I ain't going to do anything.
And I was like, you can, sir, but there's legitly nothing you can do. You can have to complain to every single manufacturer in the world because all of them do it. And goes, well, this is unacceptable. I'm making a formal complaint against you.
Hold on
with me. And the man literally made a formal complaint against me. And I had to explain to me what happened. I was like, this is what happened. And everyone was like, wait, what? I was like, yes. Oh, okay. So he can fuck off then. Yeah, he can fuck off pretty much, yeah.
Sometimes people have too much time on their hands. Although, Big Bang, you might know this, bruv, you might not. You do know that Larry David once saved a man's life, right?
I'm about to mention that, yep. I think, yeah, we're ahead of the way. But, yeah.
Shall I say it, or bruv, do you...
I don't know the story, to be honest.
Okay, this is actually notorious in the true crime world. Put in a bit of true crime, Curb Enthusiasm and Larry David actually saved a guy from death row.
I have heard this story. Yes, I have. I actually have heard the story.
There's a documentary about it. It's tight, a really tight, like under 90 minutes. It's called Long Shot. It's really good. The story is basically this woman was shot on her doorstep and this guy was accused of her murder. And he basically, the prosecution was notorious for going for
colored people.
And they were also
notorious for going for the death penalty. And they'd one up and they'd done it onto this point. And basically, this guy who was accused of this crime, he basically had said that he was at a baseball game, and there was no evidence that he was at a baseball game. And the only thing he said is that he remembers something was recording at the baseball game. And there literally was no evidence of him going to a baseball game, because basically he went there like as a kind of last minute. Like a friend was like, "Oh, do you want to come to this game?" And he was like, "Yeah, okay, I'll come along." So he had no stubs, no nothing. There was no evidence. It was literally a long shot. And then it just happened that they found out that it was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm that was being recorded. It was the episode where they leave Larry Davis with a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to catch a game, and it's just really, really awkward.
Yeah, carpooling.
Yep. And luckily, I think they were going to bin. It's so weird that we're going to bin the footage or something, or that bit wasn't really needed. And luckily, on the bit that they were going to bin, there is the guy sitting there behind Larry David. And it literally was like one of those close. Like, it was close in time was ticking and everything else. And the guy was released because he could not have committed the murder because of the time of where he was, which is evidenced by the episode. I believe they did find the person who did it.
Yeah, they
eventually
did.
They did find him and convict him. But yeah, it was Larry David actually saved somebody from death row.
Did that guy get death penalty?
I'm not actually sure. I can't remember.
But
yeah, I just found that quite, because it was literally like they were like, this guy's got to be full of crap. And even you think, this got to be, he's full of crap. And then you just see it, you're like, oh my God, it's him. Oh my God. And it's the point, the annoying thing was they actually weren't even going to take that in as evidence. That's the part that was, it's like, they were going to try to not take on the evidence. It's like, yeah, okay. But luckily it worked out. And I was emotional when like the guy came home to his kid and the kid was like, he said to his son, like, I told you I'd be back. And I'd be like, okay. And it's just the fact they've got, like, the end of it is just basically Larry David whistling the theme.
Yeah.
To Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm just like, okay. And Larry David, I think he had to actually go up and testify. So, yeah, it's very, very strange. Yeah, if you want to see more of it, check out the documentary. It's called Long Shot. It was on Netflix. It may still be there, but it's a really good, very succinct documentary.
And that's the thing with Curb. I think one thing that never seems to amaze me is the list of people that appears in this show. And the best thing is, because it's an everyday scenario, these people, you don't know they're actually in the episode until they appear. So a prime example, from the early series, he's had a long-standing issue with Michael J. Fox. Now, I'm not going to delve into why he had an issue.
I think I know why. I think I've seen this online.
Circle. He went round to Michael J. Fox's house, and Michael J. Fox gave him a drink. Now, as we know, bless him, he suffers with, remind me, Al...
Parkinson's,
yeah. So, as we know, he's liable to the odd shake of a hand and whatnot. So, first, when Larry turned up, he was speaking to him for near enough 40 minutes, and he noticed that there was no shaking going on there, which then led Larry to question Michael J. Fox. Was he doing an Oscar-winning performance here?
Yes, yeah? I remember.
So,
oh, God.
That Larry no. is. So,
it's it.
Oh, God, no. Michael J. Fox is a national treasure, mate. No.
So, at this point, Michael J. Fox goes, all right, you want a soda? I'll get you a soda. And before he gives it to him, he just shakes it in his hand and just gives it to him. So Larry's like, hang on a second. So let me get this straight. You don't shake for an hour when we're talking. But the minute I'm about to open this holy, all of a sudden the twitch begins. Now, I'm sorry. As cold as some people can be, I could not in my wildest dreams come out and say something like that. And that little clip alone just blew up that whole series, because around about 5 years down the line, Larry's in court for, I can't remember what for, and they're getting people who he's ever wronged. And they came up to Michael J. Fox and they said, Oh, Mr. David Tennant said that he can count you as a reliable witness. And Michael J. Fox is looking at the camera and goes, why me? He says, well, according to him, you two are very good friends. He's like, good friends. Good friends. The man who questioned if I actually had Parkinson's. openly, apparently, shaked a can of soda in his hand. And the officer that's interviewing Michael J. Fox, he goes, you know, I've been there for the past 30 minutes, but I haven't seen you shake at all.
Oh,
so Michael J. Fox looked at him and goes, and you still want that cup of tea from me? And the way he says it, you're just laughing. And it's amazing. I mean, that's one of my personal favourite. I mean, there's so many what we can sit and talk about. But I'm going to hit you up with another scenario. So imagine you've gone... No, in fact, let me spin it for you. So bearing in mind, Kirby Enthusiasm was made by Larry David, who was the co-founder of Seinfeld. In season 7, I believe, he actually reunited the cast of Seinfeld. He got them all back because he thought it would be a brilliant idea to have a Seinfeld reunion and to get everyone back to do one last series run. So Jerry, Elaine, George, Kramer, they were all back, which was really good at the time. Yeah.
Kramer.
Well, because they cleverly wrote what happened to him off camera in the episode as well. So imagine you're in a meeting now and one of your co-workers asks to borrow a pen. A Bic, nothing special. You've given him the pen to borrow, which is your own pen, and halfway through the meeting, you've noticed that they put the pen in their ear and then put it in their ear.
Okay, see, right there, it's not happening to me. It's not happening to me, okay? And both of y'all know I'm a pen snob, yeah? So you know it's not happening to me, right? It's not happening to me.
Just go over it.
It's not happening to me. No, nobody touches my fountain pens.
Oh my God, it's just plastic over it.
What? No, look, don't let me end this podcast right now. Look, no one.
I'm hungry, end the podcast.
No, no one, no. Only one person was ever borrowed my fountain pen, and that was somebody else who was a fellow appreciator of fountain pens, and he was like, wow. I got, okay, cool, you can borrow my fountain pen. No. Treat it like a Bic. Excuse me.
Yeah, well, I mean, proper, like, deep in the ear hole, turning it 360, then the mouth start chewing on the plastic.
Okay, I'm triggered because I'm thinking it's a fountain pen. I can't deal with this.
He just says a big pen, you. Get over it, says a plastic pen. Chill.
Okay, I also have a pen fetish in general, so...
You hide it well.
Look, can you imagine my good Sakura? Jeez.
You're saying words I don't understand, sis.
I'll put a link in the description.
Please don't. Oh, I don't. It's not my thing. I can't be bothered.
So imagine that. Larry, at this point, Larry's gone from calm to absolutely seething now. And best part is, after meeting's over, his colleague goes, oh, here you go. Here's the pen.
No. No, he doesn't. No, he can't. No. Yeah. No.
Yeah, pen fetishes aside, that's just unhygienic, man. That's just nasty shit.
Look, okay. I'm going to say this, yeah. People in a corporate setting are nasty.
It's true.
I need you to know they're nasty. The things I have seen and observed in a corporate setting, disgusting. It is disgusting. It's, yeah.
She's not wrong. I've heard stories. Shit is heavily involved. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it's one thing I don't miss about working from home is I know my toilet is clean. I'm not going to find any surprises in boxes. Oh, God. Yeah.
Some shit in the box.
Someone shat in a box at my workplace. I just want to say that someone shat in a box at my workplace.
And the question is always asked by myself, where do you work?
I can't say where I work because
I know where she works and I still don't know where she works. That makes sense. Right. Because everything she describes makes no sense.
You know what?
The main thing is, I'm sorry to cut you. I told y'all there was an article about it. Not my place. But there was actually, before the lockdown, there was an article about it in Business Insider about, or another one of those, CEAM, one of those ones, about the kind of people acting out in a lot of office environments. And basically going to the toilet in very weird positions throughout the city of London. So this is not confined to my office. This was a phenomenon pre-lockdown of people were taking dumps very weird places. There are emails that I've seen sent that I have, and I worked in Pizza Hut, and I've never seen the email sent about people not taking a dump in somewhere other than a toilet.
The only thing that came to my head, anytime I hear stories about your work, remember the latter series of Parks and Rec? There was one episode where they were sent up to a floor, and it was Chris Pratt and Chris Pratt and Ben and Andy.
They were you get the marriages, the marriage certificates on the floor. Yeah, I know exactly the floor you're talking. Yeah.
They walked into that ropey department, and a guy pulls out a cup of coffee. He says, "Oh, do you know Alex?" They're like, "No." And he breaks the glass and says, "You do now. Tell him whether I sent you." And they said, "I don't want to work in this department." It's just helter-skelter. As much as some of these workplaces are bizarre, yours deserves its own TV series, because I will pay to watch that.
It's like a cross between Own Shop, that series of Parks and Rec, and League of Gentlemen.
That's not a good combination.
I don't want to watch that.
No one does. I had to live that. The thing, you know what? That's another episode, I guess.
But yes, I'm delving off. Regarding Michael Richards. Now,
Michael Richards is fine. He's just a little bit racist, like, aren't we all?
Yes. Well.
No. No.
Fair enough. That is a fair point. We are.
No.
I'll just play devil's advocate. It's fine. I'm sorry.
Our aunt is, but no.
Oh wow.
And our mum.
Oh no, no. You know our. You know who the aunt we're talking about, innit?
Oh, duh.
Yeah. Who could give Michael a run for his money?
Yeah. Baby, you were saying, big man.
No. For sure, Michael Richards, who played Kramer, had a hell of a career until one ill-fated comedy club that he did, where I don't know if something was wrong with him, or he's having a very bad day, where he's getting heckled, as you do. It's part of the job if you're a comedian or doing stand-up.
But he wasn't being heckled, though.
He wasn't being heckled in that video. No. Heckling had calmed the hell down by the time he started talking.
He was just getting pissed off because some people were walking during his set, which is, don't get me wrong, it's fucking annoying if you're a comedian and people are walking in, because crying out, me, big man, we've done that. We've literally done it during Clint Stagdy when we walked in.
Oh, no.
The guy, and you know, it's fair game. I can't be angry at that because we interrupted his set, so it makes sense. But
a couple of young black men decided to leave, as you do, and he just lost it and just begins to spout unquotable racist stuff towards them. And he went on TV and he apologized deeply. It wasn't him. He was just in a bad place. He didn't mean it. He takes back everything that he said, deeply apologized, and pretty much was cancelled and been cancelled ever since. So it was a bit interesting in this episode of Curb, when they had a Seinfeld reunion, they brought him back. And being typical Curb, being very near knuckle to certain events, they played out a scenario where he was doing a comedy set. And the only problem is that the entire audience were black.
Oh, no.
Needless to say, there was no racist stuff coming out of his mouth this time round.
I'd be surprised if there was. Do you know what? I wouldn't have been surprised if there wasn't. No, whatever.
But
it's fine. When I think about the Seinfeld crew, like, when it comes to him, and when it comes to him, I always think of that stand-up moment. But then when it comes to Jerry Seinfeld, I always think of that Larry King, the interview.
When you're trying to apologize,
it's for half. From what I remember, he asked him one question: was the show cancelled? Like, because things by this point, something had ended.
Yeah.
And Larry King asked him, "Oh, so was it cancelled?" He goes like, "What?" And then he just lost it. absolutely lost it with, like, okay, he started going off on him, started like, don't do your research, what's going on, it made this much money. The interview would not carry on off that point. He just went off on Nairn King. I was just like, dude, chill, he made a mistake, he's old, let him make a mistake, man. But nah, not happening. The interview ended like really awkwardly. So every time I think of every time Seinfeld, if I see Seinfeld or hear his name mentioned, I think of that interview. It was hard. It was a hard watch, because like that was it. Was, yeah, it was just hard to watch. It was a hard watch. Didn't like it.
You know what? There's so many more, but before we depart, I need to leave you with this last scenario, and this is the game changer for me. So let's say one of your close relatives or slash friends has a really bad liver, and after doing various tests and donors, etc., they found out you are a match for them. What would you do? Would you A, go for a test? All right, I'm a match. That's fine. I'll give it up. We'll do the operation. Two, question yourself and their friendship. Are they really worth it? Have they done me any wrong? And I'm personal on this. Do I even like them? Or C, go into a rock, paper, scissors with someone else that's a match, and the loser will have to go through the operation.
Rock, paper, scissors every day.
Uses?
That's who it is.
No, in all seriousness, it does depend who it is. And what are the downsides to losing my liver? Because
it's gotta be kidney, because you kind of can't live without a liver. Yeah. It's gotta be kidneys. Yeah. Like, you can give one of those away and live with one, but liver kind of can't. Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah, but it doesn't really depend on who it is.
It depends who it is.
If it's one of you lot, definitely.
Yeah.
That
if
question.
If it was okay, who can I think of? If it's a person who is darker than the under the bed, probably.
Oh
not.
My god. Wow.
What? Are you, Michael? Are you okay over there?
Wow.
You're hungry, aren't you? You are starving.
Wait, 1 second. I got a message from Jason.
Jason, I beg you, if you're listening,
Jason,
please.
Jason told me to chill. Okay, I apologize.
You're not human, you're hungry. Wow.
What? They don't know who I'm talking about. I can't be talking about racist nuts, well, you bloody well know.
Yeah, it depends who it is. You lot, no question. I'm gonna have to hesitate. I'm gonna have to be like, certain people I will call you drinking a Thunderbird and go, nah, that's mine. That's mine. Rob knows what I'm talking about. No, that's mine. That's mine. And I'm going to have a can eye on top of this. Gross. To show you how mine it is. It's not yours.
That is the type of man. Because basically, in the episode, his best mate, Richard Lewis.
I'd ask Richard Lewis about what's going to happen at restaurants from now on. That's what I'd ask. I'd be like, I need you to sign this affidavit here and here. Jason would get on it. I'd be like, here and here. So from this point on, if I give you this kidney, no more toilet trips. Like, you're paying, right?
That's the scenario. His best mate, Richard Lewis's younger brother, ironically, Lewis.
No. I've got to say, I have an issue with parents that do this foolishness. Oh, I hate it. Lewis. Like when their last name could be a first name, but they also make the first name could be last name too.
Yeah.
So,
like George James.
Yeah, oh god, yes. Yes. Why? Come on.
Ben Thomas.
Ben 10.
Lewis needed the kidney, so not liver, definitely kidney. And Larry and his manager got into this massive argument about who should donate, and after failing him with a rock, paper, scissors, they ended up doing a top 10 questions about who can give up, who has the rights, who's the better man for it. And amazingly, it turned out that Larry lost the bet, so Larry had to give up the kidney. And 5 minutes before he was due to go for surgery, Lewis, unfortunately, passed away.
Oh.
Larry, may you rest in peace.
Doctors, yeah, in celebration, he was that happy about it. This is the man we're dealing with. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't ask for many things in life, but if you have a free period, 45 minutes, do yourself a favor. Watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. Let us know what you think, please. And if you like it, thumbs up. If you don't like it, please feel free to come and insult me too.
We do that anyway.
It's a long key. Jason's working through it. He's really busy. We don't pay him enough. Oh, thank you for that, big man. A little dive into Curb Your Enthusiasm with the awesome Larry David. Yeah. On that note, big man, what's your socials?
My socials. And actually, before we go, I'd like to say a massive thank you and also to everyone that's been listening and supporting us for the past few years. I need to send out a couple of shouts out real quick to Adrian and Dean, who forever been listening from day one, loving the content, always giving us props. And they actually sent a message regarding the Smallville episode you did, bro.
Yes, we got that message. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Put a smile on this face.
Really, you really did, honestly. I was listening to it with a big grin. Thank you so much for your feedback, man.
They adore it. They said, you know what, they actually want to make them go back and rewatch it. So, you know what I mean? You're doing top work as always. We thank you. But socials, you can find me on Twitter at War3782 and also on the gram at Mr_Roberts_V1. How about you, bro?
You can find me on YouTube under Instant Classic Gaming. You can also find me on Twitch, where I stream, TikTok, and Instagram under Instant_Classic_Gaming. How about you, sis?
You can get through to me on the Instagram at MessedUpPod. You can get through to us at Twitter and Messed. And if you'd like to email some thoughts, some feedback, some topics for the future, you can email us at centuredavengers@gmail.com. One day we'll explain that. Other than that, thank you very much for your time. This is
Before we actually do say I'll say our goodbyes. A big shout out, rest in peace, to Bob Saget, who was technically my first TV white dad.
Big up to Bob Saget.
And also a big shout out to Sidney Poitier, the man who showed me what a backhand was.
That's a backhand throughout the ages, that is. I'm going to link that in the description. Mm-hmm. I swear, the best backhand ever, ever given. RIP, rest in power to Sidney Poitier. Rest in power to Bob Saget. Full House for Life. The old one.
I haven't seen Fuller House. I don't know if I'm ready for that shit. But Full House for Life.
But yeah, what a backhand. The backhand, the end or backhand. Link in the description if you know what I'm talking about. And you know, if for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, y'all need to go watch In the Heat of the Night. And if you fancy a follow-up, guess who's coming to dinner.
And also, if you want some Sidney Poitier with a British twang, To Sir With Love, definitely would recommend that.
With Love as well, yeah. So that's the recommendations, people. You got that? So if you don't know, In the Heat of the Night.
Oh,
The film, not the series.
And for Bob Saget, obviously Full House, the original Full House, or just, even though it's a bad film, just for one scene, his scene in Dumb and Dumber, the prequel, where he basically screams that shit throughout the whole get film. It's hilarious. That's the only thing I would recommend from that. But you know, that film is terrible. But just find that scene. You can find that scene on YouTube quite easily. But there you go. Boom.
And his stand up is brilliant. And also, following off the Betty White, check out the outtakes from The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock and Betty White swearing her ass off, because that's how it should be.
Late Placid. Betty White had some lines. The best line she said, "If I had a dick, this is why I told you to go suck it."
Okay,
boom.
Honestly.
Rest in peace, Queen.
Thank you very, very much for paying attention, listening. I hope we've inspired you. I hope we've made you laugh. I hope we've made you giggle. But take care, and we'll speak to you soon. Laters.
Kiss, kiss. And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.